Does someone want to help me read the scripture this morning? You can. Ephesians chapter 1. So everyone turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Come down here, Belinda. I'll get it for you. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay. So this morning we're starting our new preaching series on the book of Ephesians. I'll just let you give you a quick second so you can have a quick look at what you're reading. And we're calling it True Identity. True Identity. So you can see the big poster up on the wall. Looks good, doesn't it? Okay, you ready, Belinda? Ephesians chapter 1. Right there.
Just that one or the whole?
The whole chapter 1.
Yeehaw. Okay. Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus. Is that right?
Ephesus.
Yeah. Beg my pardon. The faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, beg my pardon, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise, Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Thank you.
Thank you, Belinda. Give her a hand as she goes back, wanders back to her seat. Okay. Okay, so Ephesus. We spoke a little bit about Ephesus last year, but I'll just refresh our memories. Ephesus was one of the biggest cities in the world at the time that this was written. It was about the third biggest city in the world. And it was so big because it was located in a really good spot. It was located where there was a big port, and also there was a couple of roads that came in from all over the world. So people, wherever they were going, they sort of had to pass through Ephesus. Sort of similar to here, isn't it? If you want to get to Adelaide or Melbourne, you have to pass through Ararat, don't you? So it was that sort of idea. But this was a big place, and their main attraction was the temple. And this temple was huge, and everyone was involved in this idol worship. You know, they used to buy idols and worship them, and they would have this big carnival, a little bit like Mardi Gras, this big carnival sort of thing once a year. And people from all over the world came to this place, which was known as one of the seven wonders of the world at the time. So it was a big deal. And it was the culture of the time that this is what, you know, this is just how it was. People worshipped at this temple. You know, if you were from Ephesus, it's just who you were and what you did. But as we said before, Paul came to Ephesus. You know, it was like they got a new corps officer, and Paul was their new officer in charge. And the first thing he said was, you know, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? They said, we haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. Anyway, Paul then disciples them, and he sends them out. And as we heard before, all of Asia heard the gospel within 2 years. It's a big deal. Lots of stuff was going on. And I can just imagine what these Christians were thinking of about Paul. Because it says in Acts chapter 19 that when Paul came to this church in Ephesus, that he would walk by people and his shadow would fall on them and they would be healed. Isn't that incredible? You know, he didn't even pray for them. All he did was walk by them. He didn't talk to them. He didn't even know them. But when his shadow fell on them, they were healed. That's incredible, isn't it? And not only that, but, you know, there was miracles all the time, the scripture says. It says, you know, signs and wonders were following them. They said that demons were getting kicked out of people. You know, and these, I can just imagine what these people in the church of Ephesus were saying. Man, this Paul, he is a freak. Because he comes and prays for us the very first day we meet him, that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Next thing you know, we're all praying in tongues. I don't understand, but it's strange. You know, it's sort of like when we had Alan Lorenz or Craig Stevens last year. You know, things, the spiritual climate just changed, didn't it? You know, things started happening. You know, and I can just imagine them saying, did you see Paul the other day? He walked down the road and there was a cripple on the side of the road. He didn't even talk to him, but his shadow fell on him and he got healed. It's incredible. That's our core officer. You know, and I can just imagine them thinking, well, you know, I'll get all his podcasts and I'll watch him on TV. I'll buy his books. Because Paul is like a legend, isn't he? He's an apostle. He was an amazing man of God. And I can just imagine the people in the church of Ephesus saying, I wish I could be like that. Imagine if I had that sort of power like Paul, you know, because he's like a super Christian. I wish I could be like that. You know, and they could talk among themselves and say, well, Chris, I could never be like that. Like, that guy over there, he's really something special. And I can just imagine that. But I can also imagine that for us here this morning, because it was part of my life as well. I remember when some of my heroes of the faith, and I remember them seeing them up on the stage preaching. And I remember thinking, wow, I wish I could be like that. Imagine having that much passion. You know, imagine having that much power that when they pray for people, they get healed and all this stuff happens. And I thought, if only that could be me. If only that could be me. Maybe you have the same thing. I've heard people reading different books about intercessors and they've been thinking, wow, if only I could be like that. You know, that person is just off the charts. Like, they're incredible. You know, and maybe you have your heroes of the faith who you think, I wish I could be like them. If only I had that much love or compassion or power or something that they have. But then Paul writes this letter to them, and it must have been very, very encouraging, because in verse 3 he says something that is very quite astounding. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with a couple of spiritual blessings in Christ. A couple? No? With some? With one or two spiritual blessings? No. What does it say? With every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so really, when we start talking like this and we say, I wish I could be like that, but I'm just not gifted. Or, you know, God doesn't speak to me like that. Or it doesn't have, you know, when we start agreeing with those sort of things, what we're actually doing is disagreeing with what God has said. Because God says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? He goes on. In verse 4, he says that we are blessed because we are holy and blameless. Holy. A lot of us say, oh, we could never be holy. But here it says, actually, in Christ, you are. That easy. In Jesus, you are. You can be holy. You can have power over sin. You can beat sin. You don't need to live a sinful life, because God will give you the power not to be. In verse 5, it says that we are adopted. A lot of people go through life thinking, I've got no place that I call family. You know, I've got no place of my own and all this sort of thing. But here it says, well, actually, God loves you. He chose you and he decided to adopt you into his family. In verse 6, it says that we are loved. Lots of people in the world today feel like they're unloved or like they're unworthy or that no one cares about them. But it's clear in here, in Jesus, you are loved. Next one, in verse 7, it says that you are redeemed. It's not just that God has forgiven you, but he has redeemed you. He's taken you back to that place of purity. That's great, isn't it? You are redeemed. In verse 8, wisdom and insight. You know, we look at some preachers or some teachers and we think, wow, look at their wisdom. Look at their insight. But the scripture is clear as crystal. It says that God will bless you and has blessed you with wisdom and insight. In the book of James, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask for it and he will give it to you without measure if you believe. In verse 9, it says that in Jesus, he has revealed the will of God. Lots of us think, wow, what is the will of God? What does God want me to do? Well, in Jesus, you can find out. A lot of us feel like we are spiritually poor. But in verse 11, it says that we have an inheritance from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In verse 12, it says that we are made for the glory of God. In verse 13, it says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are blessed. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are blessed. Say, you are really, 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 really blessed. Tell them. You are really, 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 really blessed. Really blessed. Everyone say, I am blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every single spiritual blessing that there is, you have it. Wow. And now I can hear you saying, okay, that's really good. But it's just not true. I'm saying that, I agree, the Bible says it, but in my life, nuh-uh. That is so far from the truth, you cannot believe it. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions. The one, who is your hero? Now, I'm not asking your favorite sports star or anything like that. But let's have a look at this. Over here, we are rescued from what? The kingdom of darkness. Okay. And then we are rescued through Jesus to the kingdom of God, aren't we? But I want to ask you where that through is. What are you actually relying on to rescue you? Who is your hero? Let me help you out. I think we can find some. Some people think that reading the Bible and praying is our hero. It's a good thing to do, isn't it? But we think if we just read the Bible and pray, we will be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. But I've got news for you. That's not it. That will not save you. Next one. Some people think, oh, here's a good one. Hard work. Do we have any hard workers here? No. I'll just scrap that one. No, but a lot of us think, if I work really hard, if I try my best, if I just try to be the best Christian ever, I will come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You know, if I want all these spiritual blessings that James is talking about, I just need to try really hard. It's not going to work. Sorry. All right, let's try another one. Oh, here's a good one. Maybe if I give God money. Yeah. Maybe you might say, well, it sort of works for my kids doing, you know, the dishes. It didn't really work for my family. But money, no, you can't bribe God. Just by giving him money doesn't mean that you are going to be saved. So that's not going to work. What about this one? This is a big one. A lot of people think this. Going to church. You think, okay, if I want to go from darkness to light, I have to go to church. It's a good thing to do, isn't it? Definitely a good thing to do. But is that what saves you? Is that your hero? No, sorry. We're running out of things, aren't we? Maybe if we study the Bible really hard, we'll get this insight. No, it's not going to rescue you. What about this one? I hear this one all the time. If I am just a good person. Have you ever heard that? I'm a good person. I'll make it to heaven. Or God loves me because I'm a good person. Guess what? It's not going to work. Because what is the only thing? Who is the only one who is qualified to save us? Jesus! We are saved through the cross. Through Jesus' death and resurrection. But the sad thing is in the church that so many of us try doing all these extra bits and pieces to try and save us. To try and rescue us. We think if we want to be spiritually blessed, we have to do all this stuff. But really, that's a faulty thinking in a sense. You see, the word repent, because God calls us to repent, means that we need to change our mind. But a lot of us think God needs to change his mind from not blessing us to blessing us. Does that make sense? So we think if we go to church, if we pray and read the Bible, if we are a good person or work really hard, then God will change his mind and he will bless us instead of us not being blessed. Make sense? So it's like we have to work for God's blessing. But really, what this scripture is saying is you are already blessed. You are already blessed. And so it's like this. It's like I'm walking around with this darkness in my hand. Okay? You can look at all the sort of things that are dark up on there. But mate, let's just pick on a couple. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's selfishness, whatever it is. But you've got that here. And you think, wow, I would love to get rid of this darkness. And you think, well, maybe if I work really hard, not going to work. But what you need to do is you want the kingdom of God, which is in a different box. The only problem is you can really only have one at a time. You got Jesus or not. And so what you need to do is you need to ditch the darkness. Okay? You need to ditch it and take the light. Does this make sense? Because God has already given you a gift, the light. He has given you a gift. That gift is Jesus. He has given it to you already. But if you continue to hold on to the darkness, if you continue to agree with the kingdom of darkness, you're not going to live in the light. And so we can say, I'm not gifted. You know, God hasn't blessed me like that. Or all these things that I've just been talking about. It's not real in my life. Well, here's the thing. It's because you are hanging on to the kingdom of darkness. Sin, pain, hurt, all these things. Jesus has made a way for you to be happy, to be saved, to be free. He has made a way. But we need to repent. We need to change our mind. We need to give up that darkness. We need to chuck it out. We need to reject it. We need to say, that is no longer part of my life. We need to just say, no, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm not going to be angry anymore. And in Jesus' name, I accept the gift that you have given me, God. It's a simple prayer, but it's so hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Because you are blessed. You are blessed. That is your identity in Christ. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so if you do not have all this kingdom of God stuff in your life, if you're not happy, saved, and free, it's because you're holding on to the darkness. And the way to deal with it is to give it up, to let go, to reject it, to renounce it, to change your thinking. Say, do you know what? I have that right now, but I'm going to kick it out the way. I'm going to accept your gift, because the gift is Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you are blessed. Let me pray. God, we thank you that you have blessed us so incredibly much. And Lord, this morning, I know that there are people in here, myself included, who continue to have things from the kingdom of darkness in our lives. But Lord, we know that that's unnecessary. We don't need the darkness in our life. It only leads to death and despair. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray that you would convict us, that you would challenge us, that you would put something in our heart that would sort of motivate us to say, do you know what? This morning, I'm going to give it up. Lord, show us the things, show us the darkness that is in our life and help us deal with it this morning. Just while your eyes are still shut, keep your eyes shut, thank you. Just pop up your hand if you can admit that there is still some darkness in your life. If there is still some darkness in your life. Cool, got quite a few. That's right. Just put your hand back down. Yeah. I think most of us would be lying if we said we had no darkness at all. So it's good to see most people putting their hands up. It's good. How about you pray this prayer with me? And I just ask you to repeat after me, but then fill in the blanks, and you'll know what I mean, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died on the cross. I rose again so that I can be blessed. Lord, I give you the darkness in my life. Now in your mind, just speak it out in your mind what that darkness is that's in your life. And just hand it over. Lord. Yeah, you can repeat. Lord, we reject all the darkness. We want nothing to do with it. Jesus, I accept you. Thank you for blessing me. I choose to live a blessed life. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone here this morning that has prayed that prayer. And Lord God, we know that you are more than able to do any, you can do more than we could ever think or imagine. And so, Jesus, we know that all this darkness that is within our life, whether it be fear or gossip or sin or selfishness or whatever it may be, you can deal with that. And so, Lord, as we've given that to you this morning, I just pray that that would totally be cut off and broken off from our life, and that instead, Lord, that we would remember to accept your gift of salvation every single day, that we would accept your Spirit, that we would accept the blessings. And when we realize that we're not living the blessed life, that we would cast the darkness off and throw ourselves at your feet, that we would accept your gift. Jesus, thank you that we are blessed. And everyone who believed that said, amen. Thank you.